Hello and welcome to another interview from Jason's Connection. I'm Erica McIntyre, Jason's Connection's Content Director. Today, Jason Harris, our founder, will be talking with Megan Talbert, Executive Director of Helping Hands, Monkey Helpers for the Disabled. Since 1979, Helping Hands has been helping adults with spinal cord injuries and other mobility impairments throughout the United States live more independent and engaged lives. They do this by providing them free of charge with a unique service animal, a highly trained service monkey to help with their daily tasks.
Thank you for joining us. How did Monkey Helpers get started?
It really started as kind of a hypothesis and a theory that if we can train dogs to help people with visual impairments, perhaps we could train a primate to help somebody with a spinal cord injury with those simple everyday tasks within the home environment that they might be struggling with. So it did just start in 1979, and it really evolved from there, and how many monkey, you know, what type of monkeys we'd use and what tasks we'd try to teach them. And once it was established, a larger organization was formed.
So how does the program work? Do the monkeys go through different training, and how do they get decided to go where and so forth?
Sure. All of our monkeys are born into our program and raised in foster homes until they're old enough to come to training at the Monkey College in Boston. So we do all of our training and placement work outside of our facility in Boston, but we do place monkeys nationwide. So when the monkeys are old enough, typically about 8 to 10 years old, sometimes a little bit later in life, they'll come to us at the Monkey College, and their training typically takes about 3 to 5 years. Depending on the speed that the monkeys learn and their motivation, we really want our trainers to react to the monkey's learning style and make sure that they're always comfortable and really engaged in training. So some monkeys are very into tasks, and they're very food motivated, so they want to do task after task and really want to just keep manipulating the objects we're teaching them. Other monkeys are a little bit more laid back, so they might learn some task training, but then they might need some cuddle time and some relaxing time in between those tasks. So we really work at the monkey's own pace, and that's why it takes anywhere from 3 to 5 years to train the monkeys.
Mm-hmm. And how do you choose where the monkeys go and who they go to after when training is over?
Sure. We have an application process, and you can find information on our website about our eligibility requirements. But in general, we work with adults only, majority of people that we work with have sustained spinal cord injuries and live with a paralysis as a result of a spinal cord injury. But we also work with people with a muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis, people who might have lost limbs as a result of a trauma. So we're really open into, who will accept into our application process. We want, people to come to us and apply with a number of different levels of injury and challenges. But it's people that spend the majority of their time at home. Our monkeys are not trained to help in public places. They're trained within the home environment. So that makes people that work outside the home full-time or are full-time students might not be home enough to have enough of a relationship with their animal that it would be appropriate. And then people with, good support systems, either people that live with the assistance of a family member, whether that's a husband or a wife or a sibling, or people that have strong PCA care and deal with the same nursing care in and out of their homes throughout the day. But we also have people that have lower level spinal cord injuries, people that might be considered paraplegic that live independently and don't need as much help taking care of their monkeys within their home.
Mm-hmm. And why did you choose monkeys over other animals? There's tons of different types of service animals. Why monkeys?
Well, monkeys are good for this specific purpose because of their manual dexterity. They can do fine motor control tasks that, for example, a dog might not be able to do, something like flipping the page of a book or opening the cap on a water bottle. It's those little, their ability to have hands like we have that allow them to help people with the challenges that they're facing with spinal cord injury or other forms of paralysis.
Mm-hmm. And how do you teach, you went in a little bit in the training, how do you teach the monkeys to do certain tasks? Is there, other than food rewards and stuff, is there a certain way you teach them to turn on light switch or other things that they're supposed to do?
Yeah, absolutely. In simple terms, it's all monkey see, monkey do. So all of our training is done through imitation-based training so that a monkey will really learn to watch the actions of their trainers and do just as we do. So it's all done through positive reinforcement. They get verbal praise, you know, good boy, good girl, when they do what we're trying to teach them to do, and a small food reward. It's typically like a lick of peanut butter or a lick of hummus. So what we'll do is we'll teach them really how to imitate a trainer's actions. So that might start very early on in training with something like putting a ball in a cup or a ring on a post, but that they're just learning do this, do this, do this, so that they're learning to do exactly as we do. So that later in training, if we're teaching them something as complicated as putting a DVD into a DVD player, we can break down that larger step, that larger task, into three or four different steps that we teach individually, and then we'll put them together at the end. So we might teach them how to push the button first and get them to master that. Then we're going to teach them how to put the CD or the DVD into the player and how to master that. Then we might teach them how to flip it to the right side if they put it in an upside down. They'll learn that. So they're learning all of those smaller tasks that make up the bigger part of the whole.
And how do you communicate with them with what you want them to do? Is it through vocal commands or through, I saw laser pointers. How do you communicate what you want done?
So we use primarily vocal commands, but then we also use a laser light to discriminate amongst objects. So, for example, I had three objects on a table or several things on the floor, and I wanted them to pick up one thing in particular. I could shine a laser pointer on it.
Hello?
I think we lost her, Jason.
Ooh.
She will probably call back. Let's just give her a second.
Okay. Monkey hung up the phone. Wait, how did you talk? Did you just talk into the mic in your computer and I can hear you?
Yes. I am going to email her and let her know that she dropped.
Okay. I feel creepy.
I know. Let's see.
I wanted to come back and be like, the monkey hung up the phone.
Oh, no. Let's see.
I didn't think that question was that offensive.
Oh, no. Okay, I'm going to call her. 617-787. Extension 105. Okay. Oh, is she back? Are you back? Hello?
Hello?
I think we got disconnected.
Yeah, we lost you for a second. You're good now, though.
I'm hearing a lot of feedback on the opposite end of the phone. I don't know what that's all about.
Uh-oh. Well, I will mute myself, and that will probably go away.
Okay. Do we have to start over, or are we able to just
you can pick up
where
we
left
off. Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
So how do you? So what happens once you place a monkey in a home? Do you stay there for a while, or does a monkey take a bit to assimilate, or?
Yep. So we're a little bit different than other service animal organizations. A lot of service dog organizations, for example, you need to come and travel to their facility and get their training on site with them. What's a little bit different about Helping Hands is actually we'll send a team of trainers and the animal to teach our new recipients on site in their homes, which is really beneficial for not only our recipients, but also for the monkeys to transition the skills that we've taught them into a recipient's home. So So typically we stay in the home for about a week, and we work every day teaching the recipient and their family members or their personal care attendants about everything from health to diet to behavior of the monkey and all the tasks that the monkey knows. And then once we leave after that week, we assign each new recipient to one of our trainers who is their support advisor. And they will use, typically we use Skype, and we talk at least once a day, if not more frequently, and really monitor the progress of the relationship as it's built. And we can give step-by-step instructions on, you know, how to move forward in that relationship with your monkey, answer questions on site, talk about training and care until somebody gets really knowledgeable about the animal. We tell people that typically to expect at least 6 to 12 months of very intensive work before that relationship is as solid as it is with many of our older recipients.
Mm-hmm. And you say on your website that the monkey, that there's a hierarchy since they're group animals in the wild. Can you explain that?
Absolutely. So one of the things that we want to teach our recipients and that we believe here at Helping Hands is that you have to really respect the monkey's natural hierarchy. And they have a natural inclination to rank people within the home environment. So our goal is to have the recipient, the person the monkey is helping, to be at the top of the hierarchy. But we also have to work other people into the monkey's hierarchy that are helping do things for their care that a recipient might not be able to do. For example, giving a bath or helping clean the cage or helping with food and those types of things. So we're very purposeful in setting up a system in which the monkey is getting the most praise and the most attention and the most care from the recipient, but that there's also one other primary caregiver assigned in the home that's able to do things. And then from there, we really can't dictate where the monkey is going to rank people. So the monkey will rank people that they don't see as often, or they might get excited about certain people. They might not feel as comfortable around people that they don't see. They're going to rank things, like even like the family pets are all going to be ranked within the monkey's hierarchy. So whether there's a cat or a dog in the house, somewhere that cat or dog is going to be ranked by the monkey. So one of the things that we teach people is that as humans, we really need to adapt our behavior for the monkey's hierarchy, because it's a natural instinct for the monkey. So we as humans need to kind of learn to think like a monkey and learn to anticipate how we can make the monkey comfortable and feel like it's in a trustworthy environment.
Mm-hmm. Now, your program's a nonprofit, but current federal regulations define service animals for the ADA purpose to exclude all species of animals other than domestic dogs and miniature horses. How does this affect your program?
Well, it really doesn't all that much, because ADA, it only defines public access. So if our monkeys are not trained to help in public, so they're not going to be in a restaurant, they're not going to be in Walmart or the grocery store, we really don't require public access. What we do require is permission from State Fish and Wildlife to have a primate within the home environment. So that's something that we work on state by state and make sure that all of our recipients have appropriate permitting for their home if their state requires one. But in general, ADA law is not really applicable to what we do. More applicable would be, for example, the Fair Housing Act, which sees animals as service animals as a reasonable accommodation for people living with disabilities. So that's typically the legislation that would have most effect on us, and the Fair Housing Act does not regulate the type of service animal like the ADA does.
Mm-hmm. And how would you respond to those who say it's unethical or potentially dangerous to have wild animals as service animals?
Well, you know, certainly there are people that don't agree with what our program does, and, you know, to those people, we certainly respect their opinions. You know, we have raised these animals in human environments. We are extremely careful about their care and our standards of care and our education of our recipients, and we do feel like it makes an amazing difference in the lives of people we serve. So I think it is a personal choice. If our recipients feel that this is a good choice for them in their home and it's going to be beneficial and they're receiving the proper guidance and training from Helping Hands and they're respectful of the animal's needs and the animal's health, then it is a successful placement. So, you know, in general, you know, there are people that don't believe that any animal should be in service to humans, and they are certainly welcome to their opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the ways you care for the animals is for retirement for the helper monkeys. What happens when a helper monkey retires?
Sure. Sure. So unlike service dogs, for example, that typically have a retirement age, our animals don't have an official retirement age. And it's never been a case where somebody has called us up and said, hey, you know, my monkey's getting a little bit older, I need a younger animal. The monkeys really do become part of that home environment and many live out their lives in that home, and their end-of-life care can be done in a recipient home. But if we have a situation, for example, some of our monkeys will come back to us over time. It's not unusual for one of our recipients to pass away, or their life circumstances change in such a way that they're no longer able to care for an animal. So if we were to get an animal back, you know, towards end of life, maybe in their late 20s or 30s, or if they had a medical condition that we needed to address, we would, you know, kind of officially retire that animal. And in general, we would look for either an individual home, kind of like a foster home, in which the animal can live out the rest of its years in a home environment. But Helping Hands is also making plans for a larger facility that will have some retirement space, some different options, and some different housing options for our retired animals in the future.
Mm-hmm. And I know we've sort of gone over, but what are some of the things the helper monkeys can and can't do?
Sure. So we always want to make sure that we're setting reasonable expectations with tasks. Mm-hmm. As you can imagine, a lot of people will come to us and they have these, you know, wild ideas of what a monkey could possibly do for them. But we want to be very careful that we never teach a monkey how to do a task where either if they made a mistake or a recipient made a mistake, either the monkey or the recipient you know, could be hurt or, you know, could be without a piece of equipment that they need. So we're really teaching the monkeys how to do those simple everyday tasks that are very repetitive. You know, whether that's picking up somebody's cell phone that drops off of their lap and retrieving that, or a remote control, turning the lights on and off, helping get a drink of water, helping push buttons on a computer or any other type of electronic equipment. They're able to help scratch an itch on somebody's face if they can't reach up, or push somebody's glasses up on the bridge of their nose. The things, you know, it's kind of those simple everyday tasks that people have to ask another person within their home to do again and again. And you know, we hear from our recipients, my gosh, my mom used to pick up my phone 25 times a day, and I felt really bad asking her to do it again. But the monkeys, like, my phone barely drops on the floor, and the monkey runs and gets it and puts it back on my lap. So it's those sort of those little gifts of independence that the monkeys are able to give. The things that we don't typically teach the monkeys how to do are anything having to do with personal care or medications. So, you know, a monkey's not going to help brush your teeth or help get your pills or your meds, you know, and those types of things. We also don't have the monkeys doing a lot of tasks with food, for example, because the temptation's too high. We really can't be like, hey, monkey, you know, get me that sandwich out of the fridge, but I don't want you to touch it, you know? So we really try to be reasonable in our expectations of what is safe and what is right for the monkeys and what is going to be, you know, too tempting for them to try to accomplish.
Thank you. And have you seen the monkeys change people's lives with just the relationship that it gives people, but also the independence that it gives people?
Yeah, I mean, that's really what's valuable is, you know, the tasks are wonderful, and people love the fact that the monkeys are taught to do the tasks. But we hear again and again from our recipients that the companionship is absolutely the most important thing for people. You know, as you know, kind of working with people living with disabilities, after an injury or after an illness, so much of somebody's life really starts to revolve around their own care, their own needs, the things that they used to be able to do for themselves and they can't do anymore. But now having this animal, it's a different type of empowerment in that this animal needs them, and it's really a give-and-take relationship. They're mutually bonded to each other. And for the first time in a long time for many of our recipients, they have a new responsibility, someone else to think about outside of their own care. And the monkeys really do look at people, and they don't see what people can't do. They don't recognize that somebody you know, is injured or is ill. They're looking at their recipient as their alpha person, their caretaker. And that bond and that relationship is really, you know, reason to get out of bed for a lot of the recipients that we have. You know, they are motivated to get up in the morning because they know, gosh, I need to get out there. I need to make sure my monkey's had breakfast. I'm going to take her out, and we're going to play, and we're going to relax, and we're going to do tasks. And, you know, something inevitably during the day is going to be funny, or that monkey's going to curl up in their lap or on their shoulder when they're not feeling so well. So it's that relationship that is of number one importance to our recipients, and certainly to ask any of our recipients, that's the most important thing they talk about.
Wow, thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Well, certainly anybody that's your listener that is interested in the program, we definitely encourage them to go to www.monkeyhelpers.org. We've got lots of videos on our website, lots of stories, and also information if somebody thinks, gosh, this is something I'd like to pursue, I'd like to apply. You know, there's information on our website about our eligibility requirements, our application process, and we'll really help somebody. If they're thinking about that a monkey helper might be appropriate for them, we certainly encourage them to call and talk to one of our staff members. And I think the other thing to mention is certainly all of our monkeys are placed at no charge with our recipients. So all of our work is done through the generosity of individual donors and foundation grants. It costs us about $1.6 million a year to do 8 to 12 new placements and to support all of our active placements across the country. So definitely encourage people to learn more and contact us if they have questions.
Yeah, definitely. And thank you for all you do.
Well, thank you for giving us the opportunity to tell your listeners about our work.
Great. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Take care.